You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
On this episode of Cheesehead Radio,
the Packers come up short on the road in Kansas City.
How did Jordan Love do? Depends on your point of view.
Could the Packers sign OBJ? Would they? Should they?
And the Seahawks descend on Green Bay on Sunday.
4 quarters of Packers Talk.
Right here on
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. We are now 12 years into this experiment called Cheesehead Radio. And this week we're back with the Packers at 7-2 and facing some questions on the quarterback position. As is usually the case, your hosts tonight are the acquiescent Kelly Hodson, known as That Packer Girl on Twitter. Also joining us is the tractable CD Angeli, Tundra Vision on Twitter. And lastly, little old me, your voice of reason, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. Follow me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. That takes care of the introductions. Let's get this show on the road.
I'm actually curious. What does tractable mean? Am I attractive? Is that what you're saying?
I'm apparently agreeable. So
yeah, it's the same. It means the same thing.
Oh,
well, okay. Jokes on Al.
It means the same. No, jokes on me. What do you mean? I picked the words.
You're assuming I'm going to be agreeable?
Yes.
We can only hope. Anyway.
No, it's not just agreeable. It's more accepting. Like accepting. Like you're accepting of what happened last week and you're okay and, you know, life goes on.
This is way deeper than it needs to be, Al.
Well, I try way, to confuse you guys as much as I can.
We're going way deep this week.
How about we talk about some football, gentlemen?
Sure, you guys asked.
All right. Well, the Green Bay Packers took one on the chin. The Packers have not lost since week one. Obviously, that really terrible game against the Saints. But they head down to Kansas City, and it was, I think we can all agree, a winnable game. But the Packers drop it 13-7. Jordan Love was the story, but boy, I don't know. The big story in this game to me was probably the special teams, and it's not for good reason.
Yeah, it wasn't a clean game. There's no way to, let's not mince words. Mason Crosby missed twice. There wasn't
Crosby.
That great. Yeah, Crosby. There was not that great of holding. Laces out, boys. Come on. It's not amateur week. And we got a new snapper, and he's better. How? I'm going to just put those out there for you guys. Discuss.
Well, actually, the snaps were fine. If you go back and look at it, the snaps were fine. The holds were pretty bad. Not only was it a laces issue, it was a position and tilting of the ball issue. It was not placed exactly where Crosby wanted it, and it wasn't straight. It was, you know, slightly to one side. And you actually saw Crosby having words with our fearless punter about the snaps both times. I meant the hold. So anyway, Crosby let him know that he was very, not pleased with the holds. And hopefully they're at practice every day this week working that out.
So here's a question for you, Al, and CD as well, because I don't know the answer. Could Bohorica, as being a lefty, be a factor in any of this?
It's certainly possible. I really don't know, but the function is the same. Catch the ball, put it in the right place, and line it up correctly. You know, whether you're right-handed or left-handed, I don't know.
And the other question, and somebody, it might have been one of you guys that asked this weekend, it might have been someone else, I don't remember. Who's the backup to catch? Is that actually Jordan Love, who we might have had better luck with?
The backup to hold, you mean?
Yeah.
It's usually the backup quarterback, right? I don't know because they've never had to go there, but that's usually the case.
Because in years past, and I think of the Favre era, it was quarterbacks that always caught it. It wasn't the punter.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that was sort of the question I had, too. If Bohorquez, has this been something he's normally done, like, over the course of his career? I was going to make the comment that, you know, why did it suddenly happen in this game? Why, you know, we've had 8 games where things have been fine. And then I kind of thought, well, wait a minute. Isn't, like, Crosby leading the league right now in missed field goals?
Yep.
Yeah, it's funny because it has been fine. You know, he has been holding fine. I even complimented him on the last game when he had to handle some really bad snaps from Hunter Bradley, which got him cut from the team. And he handled them and he got the ball down and everything was fine. So maybe this was just a one-game aberration. I don't know. But he has been okay so far.
Well, Mason Crosby obviously isn't looking okay this year with his record so far. A huge block. You know, it's not often we see a blocked field goal, and you sure don't like to see him for Mason Crosby, but you add up those two missed field goals, that's 6 points. When you've lost by, you know, 6 points, that's a big deal. You've literally taken a young quarterback who managed in his first start to at least get you into field goal range, and he comes away with 0 points on those two drives.
Yeah, Packers did him no favors in this game in a lot of different ways, which I'm sure we will discuss.
Staying on the topic with special teams, Amari Rodgers, very exciting secondary draft pick for the Packers this year, wide receiver, supposed to be the next coming of Randall Cobb. Well, we put him back there to return kicks, and two huge gaffes on punt returns.
Gaffes.
Major mistakes.
You got to say that with emphasis like you did. Gaffes.
Plural. That's the thing. It's plural. That's the big problem here. It isn't that he made a mistake. He kept doing it.
And, you know, the one obviously that did the most damage was, you know, him obviously misjudging the ball. And I can't remember if he scrambled forwards or backwards. But
forward.
Yeah, and missed the ball. It goes bouncing. And then for some strange reason, Malik Taylor is flopping like a fish out of water behind him.
Well, you know why.
Why?
Because Rodgers completely misjudged the ball, ran it, and took off at the last second. So Malik Taylor sees where Rodgers is, and he goes, all right, that's my target. And suddenly, Rodgers runs right past him. So now suddenly, Taylor's behind. He tries to stop, but falls. That's what happened.
And then it hits him on
the bottom
of
the foot. It's really not Taylor's fault.
Clearly was such a miscommunication between the two. And
no,
I said it all along.
I didn't even say that. There was no communication involved. Rodgers screwed up.
It was a gap.
Standing still, ready to catch. Everybody sees him standing still. And at the last second, he charges forward 5-8 yards, whatever it was. Nobody could have expected that. So anyway,
kill command like stop, get away, abort, 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 when it's like gone completely pear-shaped? It's like they all just, it was like a comedy of just suck. You know, he falls on his butt, it hits his leg. You know, you should be nowhere near the ball if it's suddenly going pear-shaped. But it seemed like, yeah, no communication, no conveyance of, I just screwed up, get away from it.
We're talking about like a second and a half, you know. There wasn't when Rodgers, if you watch it again, at the very last second, Rodgers like, oh, shit, and starts charging forward. Taylor's behind him at that point. There's nothing Taylor can do. You know, there's no communication because Rodgers misjudged it. He thought it was coming to him back at that other spot. So, you know, it was to me just completely and totally Rodgers' fault. But anyway. Yeah.
And then Rodgers, I think, I don't know if that was in the third quarter, ends up muffing another return. Gets on it. But, I mean, obviously, we got to the point where I think he fielded a punt, and he fielded it and did a fair catch. And I felt like cheering again. It was like putting Tremont Williams back there again just to field it because everyone else kept dropping it. Remember it all those years ago? Oh, my gosh, it's become that again.
Before we had Swerve and Irvin, it's like, oh, my God, we got 3 yards. Everyone applaud. Why is this a problem year after year after year? What is the problem? We can't blame the coach. This is our third coach who complained about it.
Well, you know, and I'll say this. I don't think special teams has hurt us this year. Yes, you know, Mason Crosby had that really bad game, but he still made a field goal in overtime to win it. So it didn't prevent us from winning. I can't say special teams so far in 2021 has been a huge asset. We certainly haven't been a huge, you know, number one ranked special teams unit. But this week, literally, the special teams sort of lost the game for us. I mean, it's not obvious to say that the special teams plays that huge of a role. Yeah, maybe we give up a punt return for a touchdown. Okay, yeah, special teams let us down. This was almost every special team possession that they let us down. It was crazy.
I had major trepidation every time. I was like, please don't screw it up again. Or how are you going to screw it up this time? You know, you had the blocked kick. You had the missed kick. You had Amari Rodgers screwing up in epic fashion. It wasn't just like a one-time event. It was like every time they took the field, something bad happened.
Well, I mean, yeah, those three things. Nine points, and, you know, we only scored 7, so that's really all that was needed.
And moving on, of course, to that that ninth point, Kevin King returns, which none of us were excited about. I don't think anyone was excited about it other than Kevin King and maybe his family. But
and even then, they disavowed him.
And his agent. Yeah.
They disavowed him anyhow.
And he, you know, honestly, overall, the game itself wasn't terrible. We actually, you know, especially after that first drive by the Chiefs, which went for a touchdown, the defense as a whole played well, and Kevin King played relatively well within it. But the huge thing was an interception that was literally in his hands. I mean, it was a gimme from Patrick Mahomes. And I'm looking at that, and it's just, he's diving towards it, and it's bouncing off his chest. And I'm like, how do you miss that? That dropped interception deep in our own territory at the end of the second half led to a Chiefs field goal, which is now 9 points that really were preventable, and we lost by 6. So huge miss by Kevin King.
But this is very much on brand for Kevin King. He's always a little one step off and a bounce away from not screwing it up. And once again, you know, he bounced off of him.
But then I think at the end of the game, and I was really discouraged because, you know, they went ahead. You know, we had to stop them on that one final drive, you know, get a fourth down, get a punt. Maybe we have a chance for Jordan Love to, you know, I don't know, throw an interception, whatever. And
at least try, you know, give him a chance.
Patrick Mahomes is lining up in the shotgun with an empty backfield with under 2 minutes left in the game and nursing a 6-point lead. I mean, this is the time you put two backs in the backfield, two tight ends on the line, and just smash it in and kill clock. And he's going back in the shotgun, looking at whoever Kevin King is guarding and pitching the ball to him. And they win the game. They close out the game, don't give the Packers another chance.
Are you talking about the last pass that he completed for the first down?
Not the last pass.
Oh, okay.
The pass.
Yeah, because that wasn't
right
Kevin
around.
King, right?
No, it wasn't.
That was right on 2-minute warning is what we're talking about.
So obviously, they're, you know, special teams, Kevin King. And then I know, Al, you really want to talk about this.
I do.
The offensive game plan from Matt LaFleur. What's...
Oh, there was a game plan?
Like, clearly there was, but I think it was designed for a different
Aaron Rodgers.
Quarterback.
It was not designed for Jordan Love. It was not designed for a guy just stepping into a starter position. This was a full-blown offense that was designed for somebody that had full command of it. It wasn't fair to Jordan Love at all.
Thank you, Al.
We agree for once.
See, she was being very acquiescent towards you, Al, by saying your line for you.
No, I was just mad and I had to rant about it.
Yeah, so this was my big thing during the game, after the game, and since, you know. Like, and it's funny because it's the first thing LaFleur said after the game. I got to do a better job adjusting. You know, we didn't do a good job adjusting to what the other team was doing. And, I mean, it couldn't have been more obvious. I mean, great that he admitted it, but still, you know, you're in the middle of the game there and they're rushing 6 or 7 players and your offensive line is having trouble figuring it out. You got to do something. You got to call some rollouts. You got to call some quick passes. You got to run the ball more. I mean, you have to do things differently. You can't have him throwing deep fades to Davante Adams like he's Aaron Rodgers. You can't do that. But they did. And, you know, it's a shame because this was a very winnable game. You know, Jordan Love or not, whoever was the quarterback, it really didn't matter. This was a very winnable game. If Blake Bortles was in, this was a very winnable game.
So do you think LaFleur failed to adjust because he was panicking? Because the one thing that really stands out wasn't just that it was trying to smash a square peg into a round hole with the offensive scheme. It's the offensive line, which has been done a fairly good job this season of keeping the quarterback upright, just seemed to collapse so quickly. And was LaFleur responding to that thing? Okay, we got to get the ball off and try to fire it off like Rodgers does. Or do you think that was a totally separate issue?
No, I don't think it had anything to do with panicking or anything like that. You know, I think it had to do with the fact that when Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, other teams don't do this. Okay. I mean, they know they will get burned, right? So has LaFleur ever really had to game plan or match, do you know, match up against this type of tactic, all out, you know, selling out, blitzing like this against his quarterback? I don't think he has. So I think, you know, this might sound simplistic, but I think it was kind of foreign to him. And the other thing was with the offensive line, he's used to Rodgers setting the protection, being very clear with everybody, you know, letting it go down to half a second left, you know, as he's setting the protection. But it works, you know, and here he's got this, you know, first, I keep wanting to say rookie quarterback. He's not a rookie, but first time starter quarterback. And he had to help him more, right? He had to do more to help him. And I'm pretty sure LaFleur knows that at this point. So, all right, you know, we all make mistakes. I think he learns from his mistakes. So I think going forward, if Love would have to start this game against the Seahawks, I think you'll see a different approach.
And I think there's a very good chance that could happen, because the earliest Rodgers could come back is Saturday, because that would be day 10. But that's provided he is not symptomatic and he passes medical clearance.
Right. He's got to pass what, like an EKG?
Probably an EKG.
Yeah.
It all depends what the NFL's protocol is, but that's the bare minimum for elite athletes, for a lot of heart associations, you know, national heart associations.
Yeah.
So despite the fact that this was a tough loss, and it's easy for us to look and find all the reasons why we lost, there were some really good things that came out of this game. And obviously, our defense, wow. Yeah, they gave up that one first touchdown, but they held Patrick Mahomes, who you could tell was itching to come alive because he's had some struggles lately. You know, they held him to, what, a 60-something quarterback efficiency rating? It was crazy. A lot of three and outs.
More three and outs than they've had the entire season.
Exactly, that big combined, fourth down stop. What defense is this? This is a Packers defense? We're supposed
Who are
to be
these
firing
people?
Our defensive coordinator. And I don't know what to hashtag after fire. Well, we can do the special teams coordinator. But, yeah, I mean, we're so used to hashtag fire Capers, fire Slocum, fire everyone else. Joe Barry. What? We thought this was going to be terrible, and all of a sudden we've got this really good defense.
And we're doing it without Za'Darius Smith and without Jair Alexander right now. So that's really remarkable.
Only our two Pro Bowlers on the defense.
Yeah, that's really remarkable. It's a very – was it fourth in the league right now? It's a force to be reckoned with. I think, again, you know, entitled Packers fans were very impatient to see this defense really unfold this season. And even without Stokes and Alexander – I think our secondary, and Kevin King always gives me pause, is still holding its own fairly well.
You know, and one of the selling points for Joe Barry, you know, because there weren't a whole lot of them.
on his previous record.
No, not at all.
Like, what are the positives of hiring this guy? Well, he had a good 0-16 season in Detroit at one point.
Because his name's easy to pronounce and spell. There's a bonus.
But the one thing they did talk about was his ability to work with linebackers. And we all know for the last 10 years, this has been huge. And also we got DeAndre Campbell. And suddenly Chris Barnes has just this great game. And suddenly our linebacking core is the strength of the defense when it's really been the desert in, you know, the middle of this defense for years.
Yeah, it's been the thing that has lost us big games. Right. When there was nobody, the middle of the field was wide open and teams could just pass at will, you know, in that short middle of the field, because who knows where the linebackers were and what the hell they were doing.
And we settled for just OK for almost a decade. And I'll be honest, I didn't know anything about Devondre Campbell when they signed him. But, oh, my gosh, what a fabulous offseason acquisition. He is in almost every play. The guy is fast. He knows where the ball's going to go. He is in the right place at the right time. I've seen very few mistakes from him. Wow.
Yeah, to me, he is their defensive MVP for the first half of the season. I think there's hands down.
Absolutely.
And Chris Barnes, undrafted free agent.
Made a big splash when he first came on the scene, right? Absolutely. Was a real surprise. Made the roster. Nobody expected that. Then went through some injuries and had been struggling, and Had a few games this year where he hardly played, you know, and you're wondering, well, what's going on with Chris Barnes? Why isn't he playing? And, you know, I don't know, maybe he was still fighting off some injuries or something, but they pop him into this game and give him a bunch of snaps. And my God, we got Dick Butkus back there. He's smashing people. I'm like, holy cow, where'd this come from?
It's swagger, it's attitude, and I think that's what that defense has needed for years. I mean, we remember watching, you know, late Clay Matthews and just that uninspired play. You know, he was dogging at some plays, you know, you know, coming in late on tackles, and that's just been kind of holding this team back. You're right. I mean, the dogs are loose. They're ready to go.
Gotta love it.
Mm-hmm. And that'll bring us to the end of our first quarter. As happy as I am with the defense, I think we got to call this one a loss.
If we're focusing on the special teams mostly, yeah, it's got to be.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I don't think the defense can offset what happened with special teams and the fact that we lost because of special teams.
Thank you. Yes. We did.
Let me sum up.
Thank you. So we're going to move on to our second quarter, and we're going to talk a little more specifically about number 10 for the Green Bay Packers, and that was Jordan Love. Jordan Love getting his first start. Boy, you watch the pregame. He just seemed like he had his head on straight. He had a good attitude. He was ready to go. And depending on who you listen to, I mean, if you want to tune into Colin Cowherd or Skip Bayless or Mike Florio, he was a complete and utter train wreck and a wasted draft pick, and they can't get Aaron Rodgers back soon enough or sign him to an extension soon enough. Do you agree?
With which part?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah. As far as Love goes, when I rewatched the game a second time, right, and really paid closer attention, his first three quarters were really shaky. Okay, very inaccurate. Looked unsure of where he was going, and obviously there was a reason because he had two or three guys in his face continually. He took more hits that game than he ever has in his history of playing football. However, if you just take the fourth quarter by itself, if you go back and just, if you have time, don't watch the whole game, just watch that fourth quarter. He looks like an NFL quarterback. He had the one mistake, right? He had the interception, which really wasn't that awful. It was on Davante Adams' hand, but the defender snatched it away from him. That was really the only thing he did poorly. He drove them down the field twice, scored one touchdown, and then threw that interception. But you could see him getting the ball out quickly, hitting his receivers accurately. It was like a different guy from the first three quarters. You know, I'm not going to say that he's ready. You know, I'm not going to anoint him as anything, but people have to give this guy a chance. I mean, he had a really, really tough go of it with what the Chiefs were doing and how the Packers were not helping them. But
it was definitely a baptism by fire, Al. And, you know, the trolls were suddenly descending upon me because I had joked all week that this is now a Jordan Love account. They're like, oh, do you still like him now? I'm like, yeah, I still like him now. It's his first game. Think of how Rodgers played his first game. And Favre, how did he play his first game? Or any NFL starter, their first game as an emerging, you know, as a backup that's possibly just filling in. He did okay. And in fact, his stats were almost identical to Patrick Mahomes, other than the interception. They were almost, you know, yard for yard identical.
Yeah. And all I kept hearing was, well, he had two whole years to prepare for this. And this is like what he did for 2 years is really preparation for what he faced on the field in a real NFL game.
No.
Come on. When he gets snaps in practice, he's running the opponent's offense. He's not running the Packers offense.
I was
getting so annoyed with people. I was getting so freaking annoyed.
There was nothing about this game that changed my opinion of Jordan Love, honestly. I think you're right, Alan. I've said this. I think if you were to take his gameplay in the fourth quarter and extrapolate that over all four quarters, I think we win the game handily, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. He definitely got more comfortable as the game progressed.
You know, the hard thing that Packer fans are going to have to deal with is that Jordan Love is likely not going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. And that's hard for Packer fans when you've had 29 years of Hall of Fame quarterback play that you learn to expect this and think that every quarterback we get is he's not. But he's going to be a solid starter someday. I think he is. He's going to be a solid NFL starter. He's going to be fine. The things that I saw him do that I was impressed with, even in those first three quarters, is he still had poise. He was still in command. Yes, he was scrambling people in his face and he was trying to make throws. He held up as well as he could. He didn't crumble. He didn't panic. He didn't, you know, get really happy feet and start throwing the ball over the place. He held himself rather confidently. The part that I was concerned about from the day he was drafted is his accuracy. And, you know, he didn't do a whole lot at this point to tell me, oh my gosh, his accuracy has really improved. It's still shaky. He may never have perfect accuracy. But once again, when you're used to Aaron Rodgers for the last 12, 13 years, who has historically historical level accuracy, yeah, it's hard to get used to a guy who, you know, it might be a little off on his passes. But I think he's fine. Personally, I'm excited if he starts again on Sunday. I would love to see what Matt LaFleur does with a decent game plan and what he does with a little more confidence. I'd rather see Love start on Sunday.
I kind of agree with you. The only thing holding me back is that it is an NFC game, you know, and I'm always, you know, my thought process and my ultimate prize is the number one seed. You know, that's what I keep thinking about. So that's the only thing holding me back from fully endorsing that. But if it does happen, I'll kind of be excited to see what happens.
But think about it. It's a home game, so he's not going to be in the loudest stadium as an opponent. So he has that going for him. LaFleur got to realize what didn't work this past week. So hopefully we see a better ground game that'll help him calm down to have a better aerial game. But I also want to see Jordan Love run a little bit. This is one thing I think where he may have an advantage over Rodgers is he's a lot more mobile.
All right. Well, that's going to bring us to the end of the second quarter. Do we call this a win? Do we call it a loss? Do we call it a push?
Call it a hopeful win, maybe.
Yeah, the fact that we're disagreeing with Cowherd and Florio and all of those idiots.
That's always a win.
That's a win.
All right, we'll take it.
Here's a suggestion to Packers fans everywhere. Just block these jack wagons. Your online experience will be much more refreshing if they don't show up in your feed. And while you're at it, get rid of Skip. Just block these three knuckleheads, and you can curate your Twitter experience to a much better place.
But here's the thing. If you block them, you can still see stuff from them that people you follow tweet. So what you have to do is you have to get blocked by them, because then you'll never see anything.
Al and I were very successful with some of them, at least.
Which I have done with Florio. I tried very hard and got blocked by him.
Nicely done.
So now my life is better.
All right. So we're going to go into halftime 1-1. We're going to hit the third quarter. And gosh, I was not expecting this as a storyline this week. But Odell Beckham Jr.,
OBJ.
He formerly of the Cleveland Browns, has recently cleared waivers from the Browns, who thought it was time to part ways. And he has expressed interest that the Green Bay Packers supposedly are his. Well, he said specifically, I could move to L.A., I could move to New York, I could move to Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Well, that was a long time ago he said that.
Yeah, I know.
That's got nothing to do with right now.
Home of the Bratwurst Festival.
Yes.
Oh.
But the Packers have now since offered a league minimum, or probably relatively close, offer to sign him. And he could be a Green Bay Packer. I mean, by the time you listen to the show, something may have already happened. So what are you guys thinking here right now? OBJ, are you yay or are you nay, or what the heck is going on?
Would you like to go first, Kelly, or would you like me?
You go first.
Okay. I've been anti-OBJ for years now. With him having been here in New York, or New Jersey, more specifically, but they still call it New York Giants, and kind of knowing what went on here and why the Giants decided they were better off without him after signing him to a $90 million five-year extension. And then coming to Cleveland, and here he is 3 years in. He really hasn't done much the last 2 years. He's been injured. And now we have controversy again. Right now, he's unhappy. And, you know, he's perpetually unhappy. If he's not being showcased and being the star, he's perpetually unhappy. And my objections were not so much you know, on the field. I mean, you know, if you could get a guy like him for a league minimum and just, you know, have him, even if you don't throw to him, just have him occupy defenders. Okay, yeah, why not? But I'm just concerned about team chemistry, the locker room. You know, we've kept hearing from everybody, players, coaches, et cetera, about how close this team is and what a great locker room it is. So that's my main concern. So I'm probably still on the no thank you train. But if it were to somehow magically happen, which I don't, I'll say, okay, let's go.
All right. I'm definitely have long been the keep looking, don't keep walking. Don't want them, because if last week proved anything, we are sufficiently stocked in giant sacks of drama. We don't need more. But there's part of me that's in the maybe category, and I love how Packers fandom is like sweetening the deal. You had Leroy Butler offering some, no, yeah, you had Leroy Butler offering two
offered
bottles
to drive him.
To drive him and offered him two bottles of his
oh, that too? I didn't see that.
Of his hooch. Chris, friend of show, Chris Burke has offered to dye his hair blonde, and apparently I'm the one that's going to be doing it for him. Burkles!
Burkles!
There's like a whole bunch of assorted, you know, home goods like dilly beans, jam, honey, which is could not be get more on brand for a Wisconsin Packers fan base. And I think there's a groundswell for if he will take the league minimum. And it doesn't sound like he's going to. He mentioned that, but now he's kind of playing the money game.
Yeah.
But, you know, you brought this up in discussions before we came on the show. Is this like an Andre Rison or a Terry Glenn? I loved Bad Moon in 1996. But when he was here, he kind of checked his drama at the door and just played ball. Can we, and I'm guessing no, with OBJ, would he check his drama at the door and just shut up and play some football? That's the big unknown variable. And that's where I'm kind of maybe, but probably not.
CD?
So you think I'm acquiescing.
That was my adjective.
With regards to last week. Again?
What am I again?
Not acquiescing.
I can't remember what
you're my tractable. Answer. You're tractable.
I'm retractable at this point.
Okay.
Any other year, any other time, whether it was Randy Moss years ago to bring in a petulant wide receiver that you know in your head is going to be a cancer. You know he's going to be a cancer. I would say you're insane. Don't bring him in. Yes, we brought in Andre Rison. That's because Reggie White was staring at him saying, "Don't screw up, kid."
And he didn't screw up. He behaved.
But we were afraid when we signed Rison. A lot of us don't remember that because we have wonderful, glorious memories of that season. But when we signed him, we are all kind of going like, oh, crap, bringing in Bad Moon Rison. You know, he's a behavior problem. Is this going to tear apart team chemistry?
One of the best nicknames ever, by the way.
Yeah. Can you imagine that signing had the internet really existed in this capacity?
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
It would have exploded. And I remember I was doing a clerkship up in Marshfield, and I had a little black and white TV, and that's all I was following. No cable. I'm like, don't screw up, don't screw up, don't screw up, don't screw up, don't kill. And he did okay.
Yes. But back on topic.
Stay on target.
Got to pull her back. I disagree. I think that not only do I think the Packers may as well sign him, I think they will. And I'll tell you why.
Please.
Because this is the all-in. This is the last dance season. And this season has been nothing but insanity regardless. I mean, we have Aaron Rodgers.
It fits with the theme, trauma. Is what you're saying.
Yes, and okay. You may as well do this because, yeah, he'll probably come in. He'll play for a little more than the vet's minimum here. The other teams that he allegedly are getting offers from and interested in are mostly train wrecks. You know, you're probably talking fourth, fifth, sixth seeds. Green Bay is the team we're looking at it right now. That is probably going to be the one or two seed. Definitely going to be division champs, et cetera, et cetera. Aaron Rodgers has already come out and said he wants him, effectively. Devontae Adams, the number one receiver, says, yeah.
He's all in.
We'll take it. This is insane. You would never do anything like this, and yet the Packers are going to, because it is just going to be the crazy mess that this season is going to be. He knows he's going to come in. He knows he's a one-season rental, just like Andre Rison, and he's going to go somewhere. hopefully have a ring and make a whole bunch of money somewhere else. So I think it's going to happen.
So is this definitely the shake the couch for the loose change to come up with the league minimum and just let it all burn to the ground in the process? Because the season is starting to look like that Elmo gif that everyone uses on Twitter of Elmo with everything burning behind him.
Well, I mean, the Packers have the cap space. It's just they're going to use that cap space to sign OBJ then rather than use it to extend someone like a Davante Adams or Jair Alexander. So, yeah, it's a huge risk. But like I said, you've gone all in. You know, forget 2022. You know, we're going to rebuild this team, burn it all down, and let's get the Super Bowl this year. And I think it's going to happen.
What are the chances of him behaving like Andre and kind of buckling down? And because there is that big incentive of a ring dangled in front of him, do you think he would curb his behavior to be a good teammate and not ruffle feathers? That's the one thing that worries me. You could get an Andre Rison, or you could get another Martellus Bennett that just is awful with the
team. You said those words on this show.
But you know what? Bennett was fine until Rodgers got hurt.
And then he checked out.
That is going to be what is there for OBJ, is that as long as he has legendary status, Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball, he's going to behave himself for 8 games.
Yeah, so I guess the 4 teams are the Chiefs, the Saints, the Packers, Seahawks. The Packers and the Patriots. I think Seahawks are not in the discussion anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
From what the last thing I read. So the Patriots have a rookie quarterback. So to me, that's an automatic out, right?
Right.
And they're lower tier as far as seeding goes or chances.
The Saints, you know, have, I think Jameis Winston is hurt, right?
Yeah, he's
right.
Out.
Isn't he out, like, for the rest of the season or something?
I think he blew his knee up is what happened.
Right. So they're running on a backup quarterback, right? So as much as everybody thinks, oh, it's going to be the Saints, I don't know about that. So to me, it really comes down to the Chiefs and the Packers, right? And the Chiefs are what now? Are they 5-4 after beating Green Bay? Does that sound right?
I think they
were 4-4 coming in, right?
Let me verify.
I think so. So to me, it comes down to those two teams, the Chiefs and the Packers.
Right.
Does he want to play with Mahomes? Does he want to play with Rodgers? Is what it comes down to.
Two teams that have made it to their conference championship games or better in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
And Rodgers being out, we know, is just temporary. It's either not going to be this week. Probably not this week is my guess, but next week, definitely. But also, OBJ is also saying he's going to take his time, which means he may not make his decision this week.
Well, you said a couple of days, but...
But that brings us to next week.
Well, a couple of days is 2 days, so that brings us to Friday. But I'm thinking he just wants to see if somebody blinks. You know, he's got an offer probably from the Chiefs and the Packers, and he figures if he just sits on that a little bit, one team might get a little antsy and decide to up their offer. That's what I think he's doing. Anyway.
All right. Well, we're going to end the third quarter there. Listeners, you may already have different news by the time you hear this, but there we go. OBJ, is this presently a winner? Is it a win if we sign him, or is it a loss if we sign him? What do you think?
That will remain to be seen.
Yeah, I guess. We'll make it a push for now.
Make it a tie.
One and one. And now we're going to go into our fourth quarter, and that is prepping for this Sunday's game against the Seattle Seahawks.
All right, before we really get going, can I just make fun of Russell Wilson for a minute? What the hell was that video? It sounds like he was coming back from like cancer treatment or open heart surgery. It's like, oh, it's his finger.
That's Russell Wilson.
Yep.
He is so extra with everything.
He used to be a Badger, you know.
He was barely a Badger. He didn't even play. He wasn't even there a semester, so I don't even count him as a Badger. He just says he irritates me so much.
So
I've forbidden myself from ever liking him after the fail mare.
I cannot.
I don't care what he does. I don't care. I don't care how much he does for charity. I don't care how.
He just seems incredibly disingenuously disingenuous.
I've forbidden myself. And once I do that, that's it. Go ahead, CD. Sorry.
It is interesting, though, because I was reading an article about his recovery. He's been out since October 7th. Some sort of fracture or whatever the weird stuff is. The
mallet finger.
Mallet finger and
all
that.
Would you like me to explain?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, it's a tendon injury at the end of your finger. If that tendon is ruptured, you can't straighten your finger out entirely. That's why you saw it kind of looking like a mallet when he injured it.
Okay, so they put a pin in and they like repair the tendon somehow.
Yeah, they what happens is you get a little fracture at the tip of your finger, and then that tendon is no longer attached. So you're just tacking everything back on, so you can fully extend the finger again.
Okay.
So the doctor who treated him was just gushing and saying, you know, I've never really treated an injury like this on a guy, you know, a quarterback with this on his throwing hand. And, you know, normally I wouldn't expect him to be back even this soon, but he just has the most amazing work ethic to rehabbing. And, you know, it's really just amazing. And I felt like I was listening to Donald Trump's doctor.
Yes. But, it's like superhuman healing powers. Yeah, it must be the nanobubbles.
Okay. But he's going to be back. So we assume he's back. But you know, this isn't an injury typically you come back from in a month. But no. He's going to try it. The Seattle's coming off a bye. The Packers had their sort of mini bye after the Thursday night game. So this is only going to be their second game in 17 days. So you figure both teams are well rested. They might both have their starting quarterbacks back. There's some good stuff being set up here for this game.
And well, yeah, Packers Seahawks is always good, right? There's always interesting things that go on during the game. Always comebacks on one side or the other, and we've had the better go of it recently, which makes it even more fun just to see him walk off the field losing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been obviously the recent history, whether it be the fail Mary, whether it be the onside kick.
That's not that recent. But
no, that's no, starting to get distant.
You're going back now. You're going
it
back.
It is
you're
distant.
Just trying to be dramatic, CD.
The fail Mary happened when my kids were in grade school. They're both in high school now. Let it go.
I'm trying to be dramatic here. For the sake of ratings.
Because you're sitting here for the sake of ratings.
Wherein I declare a moratorium on fail Mary and onside kick.
You might get 200 listeners this week instead of 170. Anyway, no, I think... But I mean, I think they did a poll of Packer fans a while ago, and they asked them to name their number one rivals. I remember they commented how, you know, the Lions and the Vikings, the Bears all said, yes, the Packers are our number one rivals.
We
still hate Dallas, and it's still from like the 90s. So, I mean, Packer fans do carry this quite a while. So, yeah, I do think they're still, you circle the Seattle Seahawks on the calendar for
hate
a couple
them. Of years. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So there.
It's not the primary rival, but yeah.
No, but I still win. Anyway.
Whatever.
What?
Well, I won the argument. Anyway, Kenny Clark.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
CD stands for Colin Dowherd, by the way. So
apparently CD claimed the high ground. We're just all.
Yes.
Whatever. Carry on.
Me and Obi-Wan. Kenny Clark and Eric Stokes, both of whom left the game. Eric Stokes never was in the game. Last week, he apparently had some sort of leg injury during warmups. Both have been stated they do not have long-term injuries, but we're still not quite sure if they're going to play again on Sunday, but it'd be nice to have them back. But possibly, the big name, possibly, finally
dun,
comes
dun,
back.
Dun, dun.
David Bakhtiari.
Dun, 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 dun.
Little 69 for the Packers coming in. Activated from the PUP list. He can play this week. Will he play?
Probably not.
Thanks
for the letdown.
Let's be honest. Again, thanks for the letdown. Today's practice.
I think he will. I think he will.
So if he plays, do we suddenly upgrade at center?
Personally, that's what I would do. I would take Jenkins and put him at center and move Patrick to right guard.
Yes.
But I don't think that's what they'll do. I just don't think they will. I think they might put Jenkins at guard and move Runyon over to the right side, right guard. Hmm. But we'll see.
Do you think it makes a difference if Rodgers or Love is starting, whether you push him or is it just going to be, doesn't matter which?
We're getting into the home stretch. Second half of the season, every win really counts now, and every loss we don't want. You know, that's a Captain Obvious thing. I think if he's ready to go, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. They're going to want to protect the quarterback regardless. Because if you watched last week, some of the times he got flattened where the blind side was completely unprotected.
Yeah.
So possible, but I think you said it before too, Al. I mean, getting back someone like Za'Darius Smith possibly and Jaire Alexander, two Pro Bowl players, bringing back David Bakhtiari, Pro Bowl player, getting back Aaron Rodgers, all everything player. I mean, we have more talent right now on our injury list than we do actually on the team.
Well, our best players. Yeah.
Back. Yeah. Very reminiscent of 2010.
Yes. So very good. So I suppose we can finish the fourth quarter right there. Big game coming up. We'll get to our predictions here, but I don't know. We call this a win or a loss.
Yeah, D-back is back. Whether he plays or not this week, that's a win.
That's a win. Okay.
So 2-1-1 is the record this week, ladies and gentlemen.
We pulled it out at the end.
All right. Now we're going to get to this week's game prediction.
Cheesehead Radio, Packer Game Prediction.
The Green Bay Packers return home for another late afternoon tilt, hosting the Seahawks on Sunday with Aaron Rodgers back at quarterback. Maybe. They'll be facing Russell Wilson, probably. So we reserve the right to keep adjusting our predictions as the facts change. It's kind of the way things work. But for now, the Packers started out as a 4.5 point favorite. And we expect that could fluctuate wildly as we hear about Russell Wilson or as we hear about Aaron Rodgers. So what is our prediction? Jersey Al will start.
Well, as we've talked about already this evening, last week was a very winnable game for the Packers, even with a first-time starter at quarterback. Unfortunately, our beloved Coach LaFleur did not properly respond to a bad defense's desperate move of all-out blitzing, so the tactic worked. Who the Packers' quarterback will be this week is still a question mark, but you can expect the offensive game plan to be more tailored to whoever is behind center. Special teams can't be worse than they were last week, or so you would hope. And as for the defense, if they can play even close to how they did against the Chiefs, the Packers will win this game. Give me the Packers to win 24-16 over the Seahawks.
I think you just jinxed us by saying special teams can't be worse than they were last week. It sounds like a challenge.
Okay, so that's 16. Is that two field goals, or did the special teams totally crap the bed and that's a safety?
No, that's one touchdown and three field goals.
Okay. There you go.
But it could also be a safety.
Well, no, I'm going with the traditional 16.
There you go. The Packers are at home, and even if Jordan Love is forced to start again, it's a way better scenario for him and this team. A young quarterback taking his licks in front of a supportive home crowd is always a little easier. And Matt LaFleur is now going to have had a week to view that tape and design a much better offensive scheme for his young quarterback. I think the Green Bay Packers pull it together this week, Rodgers or not. I'm going to say Packers, something over 20, Seahawks 17.
You can't waffle like that.
You can't do that. It's not allowed.
If Love starts, I'm going to say it's 21-17. If Rodgers starts, I'm going to say that it's 28-17.
Well, then you should say that, not something.
I did. I said something over 20. It'll be something.
Well, because we made you say it. No, you have to be specific.
Okay. Oh, well, I'm gonna say Jordan Love's gonna start, and it's 21-17.
Okay.
Well, you hit on a good point. The Packers may have Aaron Rodgers if he passes medical clearance. The Seahawks may have Russell Wilson if his fingers really healed or not. It could be two seasoned quarterbacks or a battle of the QB2s, a Jordan Love versus Geno Smith showdown. The Packers need to right their ship regardless of who's in charge. I'm not holding my breath that Rodgers clears COVID protocols, but I've been wrong before and I'm willing to be wrong again. Pound the rock early and often, and maybe they have a chance. Packers 24, Seahawks 21. Please don't let me down, Mason. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio in our 12th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can listen to several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow @PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the pod, show us some love and leave us a review. You can also find us on Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying, "Play Packers Talk Podcast." That's a wrap. It's a home game, boys. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, y'all.
Well, if it wouldn't have buzzed, it'd be okay.
I think you're the only one who heard the buzz. I don't know if it recorded.
You were the only one that heard
it. No, because
I think you're hearing things, Kelly.
Yeah, because I did not hear anything.
Kurt, it sounded last perfect week, to me. I was listening to the show, and that buzz did show up on one thing you were saying. So that's why I wonder, is it going to carry over?
There was a fly.
There was not a fly.
All right, it was a bee.
All right, take four.
Why was that so funny to you?
We can't even get out of
that. That was like a throwaway joke.
Shut up.
You found it hilarious.
Shut up.
Al, you know.
What's that?
It's late at night.
Late at night. Okay. Silly time.
Okay, let's do this.